beautiful people. You know, you ever look around? And in Christ, you know, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? We're a new creation. Just look around. It's beautiful people. So today I'm going to talk about Christ. Imagine that. We're in church. I'm going to talk about Christ and Christ crucified. And so I'm going to talk about the ark. The ark, it's a picture of Christ. Not Noah's ark. That's a picture of Christ too, but I'm going to talk about the ark of the covenant. So, like, Dennis Karp would be better to describe this and all, but, you know, they had a tabernacle, and God gave the Israelites the plan and Moses the law, and they had the outer court and the inner court and the holy place and the holiest of holies. And in the holiest of holies was the Ark of the Covenant. And the high priest went in there once a year. It was a very holy place because the Ark of the Covenant was very holy and the presence of the Lord was in there. And he had little bells on the bottom of his robe, and they would tie a rope to his ankle. If he did something unholy and was struck dead, they'd pull him out, anoint another priest, and he would go finish. And so it was a very holy place. And so in this story, the ark had been stolen by the Philistines. Now, the Philistines represent our flesh, and we deal battle with our flesh continually, just like the Israelites were continually dealing battle with the Philistines. They were just a battle. It's a battle. We all have a flesh, and we're in a battle. And so the ark was stolen. And what was in the ark, and what does the ark represent? You know, inside the ark were the tablets of stone, the pot of manna, and Aaron's budded rod. It's like the tablets of stone. John 1, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's Christ. The pot of manna. Jesus is the bread of life. He's our provision. It's Christ. Aaron's budded rod. I am the resurrection and the life. Christ. And really important one on the top was the mercy seat. And the mercy seat is where the blood was put. The high priest would bring the blood in there once a year and put it on the mercy seat. And it says in Hebrews that this is a picture of heaven. It's a picture of heaven. Like, this holy thing is a picture of heaven. It's very holy. And that Jesus took his own blood without spot and blemish and went to heaven and put it on the mercy seat and sat down once and for all. And so the Philistines had stolen this ark, a very holy thing, picture of Jesus. And they stole it, and it was bad news for the Philistines. It just brought a curse on the Philistines. On the flesh, it brings a curse. It's like the flesh, it doesn't work with the flesh. And so they said, let's get rid of it. So they gave it back. And so they gave it back. And when they're bringing it back, there were certain procedures that God had given the people to carry this ark. And not all the priests, a certain type of priest, the Kohathites or whatever their name is, were supposed to carry it with poles, like stuck through the rings in the side. They weren't even supposed to touch it. And so the Philistines give it to them on a cart, and they take it on a cart instead of having the priest carry it. Now, this is a holy thing. And Uzzah, the cart, like, hit a bump or something, and Uzzah held out his hand and died. He died. And so this is 2 Samuel 6, 9-11. It says, David was afraid of the Lord that day. This is David. King David, I mean, a man after God's own heart, slew Goliath. And he trusted God, right? He trusted God. But he saw a voice from a phone. No, he saw What did he see? I forgot what I was saying. Okay, so Dave's afraid that day. And who, could somebody turn that off? Yeah, thank you. So, he said, David was afraid that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. Well, that's where the ark belonged, in the city of David, in Jerusalem. So he was scared to move the ark into its rightful place because he saw the holiness of God in action. Like what happened to Uzzah, he was scared. And so David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But what did he do? He said, well, let's send it to this guy's house and see what happens. He sent it over there, a Jewish guy, and the Jewish guy was blessed. It was there for 3 months, and he had his socks blessed off. He was like, wow. And then in 2 Samuel 6:16, David brought the ark into the city of Jerusalem in a very reverent manner. He went, he saw the blessing. He wanted the blessing, right? He knew God, and he's like, God's blessing is more important than anything. But he was very reverent. The holiness of God, the holiness of Christ, which the ark represents, and he brought it. And as the ark came into the city, there was David shouting and jumping and whirling and dancing. The ark was in its place. And what comes with the ark? The blessing and the presence of God. And so David made offerings to God, and he gave food to everybody. Food. And there was great joy. Why? Because there's a holy blessing with this picture of Christ. There's a holy blessing with Christ. And so he sang a song. And in that song, you can find it in 1 Chronicles 16:34, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. It's a long song, but I picked this part up. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So look at somebody in the room and point to him and say, he is good. He is good. He is good. For his mercy endures forever. You can do that. Look all the way across the room at somebody you might not know and say, he is good and his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. And that's the message. When the ark's in its rightful place, there's rejoicing. There's rejoicing. And we can be familiar with what is holy. And good familiar, being familiar in a good way is good, right? To know somebody and know something. But you can be familiar in a bad way. Like you could like tell a mean joke to your friend that you're familiar with, and you really have no business telling that mean joke. You know? So that's bad familiar. It says familiarity brings contempt, right? This type of familiarity. Like we don't want to be familiar with what is holy. We want to be familiar in a good way with what is holy, but not familiarity that breeds contempt with what is holy. Not like, oh, I know that. That's not, you know, like. So we could actually proceed to put the ark on a cart or it's already on a cart, and we take it on a cart, and we could proceed to touch it when we have no business touching it, right? And only the Kohathites, or whatever their name were, only those priests could touch that ark. And they didn't even touch it. They held it with the poles. And it's Christ. And so you think about it, like outside of our priesthood, we could be doing things, trying to carry Christ somewhere or doing something in our flesh and like taking it for granted or not treating him as holy. We could be trying to do something. And we can do that with what's inside the ark, the word. We could open up our Bible and be like, yeah, I know that. I know that too. I'm looking for something to tickle my ears. I want something different. Yeah, I know that. instead of looking at it and be like, yeah, I know that. That's the God I know. You know, it's like there's two ways to look at it, right? We're not just looking for something new, something fresh, yes. But when we don't know God in a familiar way, it is fresh because it's holy. And God's provision, the pot of manna, we can take God's blessings for granted and just complain all the time, right? You can find something to complain about. If you're rich and healthy and seem to have everything going for you, you could still find something to complain about. You got first world problems. You know, I've got so much food I brought home, it won't fit in my refrigerator. You know, it's like you can find something to complain about, right? And the resurrection life, like the life we can take for granted that we have it without it being Christ in us that has it. You know, like somehow in our flesh we have life, and we don't. It's only in Christ we have life. We're weak. We're weak. But Isaiah 6, like the train of his robe fills the temple. You know where it's talking about the seraphim singing holy, holy, holy. And the train of his robes filling the temple. And that's how beautiful we are, right? Don't you know? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that yous or y'all, the plural of you, are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know? Like, we're the temple, and the train of his robe is filling the temple. The righteousness of Christ is here, and there is a holiness here in the body of Christ, in the temple of God. Not the building, in us, right? And so, but we also know, like, just to keep this message, like, from being something else, we know the veil is rent. And it, the way, the holy place is open to us, right? But he is still holy. He is still holy. So we're going to have communion. Where's John? Could we, the elders or whoever's going to help serve communion, come up? Thank you. The wafers are in here somewhere. Ooh. Oh, there's two tabs. There's two tabs. If you lifted the first one first, like me, you might have a little trouble. Uh-oh. You either need fingernails or a pocket knife if you lifted the first one first. I might need some scissors. I'm just going to take it off and figure it out after that. There we go. Oh. Where? Here, show me.
Nope. This one's defective.
I'll get it. Okay, we got it. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Okay. All right, so. Yeah, this is 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, that's like being familiar, right? This is holy. Will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So we'll just take a little moment of silence, and I just encourage you to ask forgiveness of any sin you have in your life, commission, omission. Oh God, if we become familiar with you and have not given you the holy reverence you deserve, Lord, forgive us. I thank you, Lord, for loving and dying for us, loving us. Thank you, Lord. You are holy. Verse 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In remembrance of him, let's take the wafer. Thank you, Lord. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me," remembering his blood that was shed for us. Take the cup. Thank you, Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, "For he is good and his mercy endures forever." Amen. So this ark was in the tabernacle at first, which was like a big tent. And then Solomon built a temple. And this is where they dedicated this temple. 2 Chronicles 5:13-14. Then they brought up the ark, this picture of Christ. They brought up the ark to the tabernacle of meeting. "Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying," so they're with one accord, they're with one voice. Sounds kind of like Pentecost, huh? With one accord, with one voice. And what are they saying? They're saying, "For he is good and his mercy endures forever." When they dedicate the temple, Solomon's temple. It's amazing. And when they do that, they're with one accord. They're singing, "For he is good, his mercy endures forever." That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. For the glory of the Lord, when they were with one accord singing, "For he is good and his mercy endures forever," the glory of the Lord filled the house. But they did it in holiness, right? It's like He's not good and we can just sin and do whatever we want. They did it in holiness, and it's like this special holy blessing that comes on from God. He is good and his mercy endures forever. And that's an amazing thought, like that we can agree on together with one accord. And the Old Testament, you know, he had the tabernacle and the temple. And as I said, the New Testament is the body of Christ, the church. Don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Like amongst us, he's amongst us, he's in us. And he is good and his mercy endures forever. And just incidentally, in 2 Chronicles 20:21, when Jehoshaphat was up against a battle he could not win, and he sent the singers out first, what were they singing? They sang, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And God gave him the victory. And there's a big blessing. There's a big victory in just acknowledging that he's holy. He is good. His mercy endures forever. And this big blessing brings a rejoicing. And it caused David to dance and give food to everybody. And so next week we're having a luncheon. And anybody who wants to dance is welcome to come. I might join in, but I'm not going to start it. Okay, Maureen, I think she said she's going to start. she was like, "Oh, okay, she'll join in. If John starts it, she'll join in." But there's a luncheon next week after church. And yeah, for those of you who are new, we have communion, what is it, once a quarter? So we don't do this every week, but we do remember this. We remember that. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If there's anybody here who has never approached the ark, who has never come to Christ, just call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Just call on to Jesus, Lord. Just call on to Jesus. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I receive what Jesus did on the cross for me. I want to be saved. And we just pray that you'll bless us as we go forward and bless this church, and that we'll never lose the message that you are holy, that you are good, that your mercy endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen.